You're listening to Casey on the Radio, people and ideas that can change your life. To see and hear more, visit CaseyOnTheRadio.com.
Hello, it's Casey on the Radio. And the first Tuesday of every month, you can find me flat on my back, covered with acupuncture needles. I used to go more often, but once a month is all I need now. That, coupled with Chinese herbs, has done wonders for my asthma. Wonders, I tell you. Now, I have to make it clear that when I go for my annual blood test, a nurse named Sheila holds my hand while I freak out. I hate needles. Hate them. But acupuncture is nowhere near those kinds of needles. In fact, they should just change the name. These hair-thin little pins don't hurt at all. They only bring relief. Ron Hershey of East Mountain Acupuncture has brought me along this road, and we got talking recently about the great results he sees working with women in menopausal symptoms. It's all about the movement of energy and the balance of energy, or as he calls it, the yin and the yang.
It's a very good place to start, really, because the yin and the yang is sort of the basis of all health. And, of course, it's very pertinent in menopausal issues as well. In general, yin, things that are yin in the body are considered to be those things that are nourishing, moistening, and temperature moderating. So, in other words, preventing extremes of temperature, either too hot, too cold.
Okay.
So blood, for example, is a very yin thing because it does all of those things, right? It nourishes the body, right? It also cools the body and warms the body. Where that is, it prevents extremes of temperature from developing. It also moistens. So if you are, in Chinese medicine view, if you're blood deficient in some way, which may or may not correspond with anemia or something that would show up on a Western blood test, if you are blood deficient, one of the symptoms that you may have are various dryness symptoms throughout the body. Those are all what we would also call yin deficiency signs.
Right.
On the other end of the spectrum, yang is that which, yang is more about energy circulation, that which circulates, warms the body, sort of gives rise to transformation in the body. In other words, it's the yang of the body that's responsible for transforming food into blood, basically, and usable energy. So somebody who has a lot of phlegm or sith or all sorts of things like that, those are things that can be considered signs of weakness of the yang.
And in Chinese medicine, don't you talk a lot about, aside from yin and yang, hot and cold or wet and dry, or is that all part of the same thing?
Absolutely. Well, all those things stem from issues of yin and yang. Just as we were saying before, that if there's not enough yin in the body, or if the yin is depleted in some way, from that you can get a sense of dryness, as we were just saying.
Right.
But you can also get heat. So one of the things that yin does for the body, it almost acts like, to use a crass analogy, it's a little bit like antifreeze and coolant in a car.
Mm-hmm.
That fluid actually prevents an engine from both freezing up or overheating. So blood and yin does the same thing for the body.
So when we talk yin in the body, it nourishes, it moisturizes.
Right, exactly.
Now, when we're talking menopausal issues, women talk about brain fog and hot flashes and dryness as well. You say, and many others concur, that Chinese medicine, especially herbs, can work really well on some of these symptoms, yes?
Exactly. I think when you're using certain Chinese herbs that are very effective at replenishing the yin of the body, it's like giving a drink to a parched person who has not had a drop of water for a long time. It just makes such a big difference to that person.
And these herb formulas can be hundreds of years old or thousands of years old, right?
Exactly. There are the basic textbooks of Chinese herbal medicine list the first documented date for each of these classical formulas, and sometimes they will be, as you say, 300 or 400 years old. Sometimes a formula may be first documented in 400 BC.
Mm.
The formulas for treating menopausal problems or PMS or abnormal uterine bleeding, for example, can date from before Christ's birth.
Wow. I can't imagine women sitting around talking about menopause before Christ's birth shortly thereafter either.
Right. Well, it's hard to imagine what they talked about back then.
Right. It really is. But basically, their systems did become out of balance, right? I mean, as everyone's can. And that's what Chinese medicine is all about, right? Bringing back the balance.
The balance is really the key issue, in fact. It's because in menopause, it's particularly particularly pertinent in the sense that both from a Western point of view and from an Eastern point of view, we have a decline going on here as you're going towards menopause. From a Western point of view, there is a decline of the production of estrogen and progesterone, along with other key hormones. From a Chinese medicine point of view, we say that this is a decline of the energy of the liver and the kidney, and particularly the yin and the blood of the liver and the kidney. What's more, as you say, what's more pertinent than just the fact of this being a decline, it's in the process of declining, things get out of balance, and particularly this yin and yang get out of balance. So our aim with Chinese medicine, with herbs and with acupuncture, is not so much to bring a woman back to the level where she was before she was going into menopause, because that's not natural in a sense. What we're trying to do really is ease the transition from one stage of life to another. And in order to do that, the main goal is to keep things in balance, to keep the yin and the yang in balance. And by doing that, this isn't just a kind of an abstract, esoteric pursuit based on something that was written 3,000 years ago. This is a very, very practical and effective way of easing the really troubling symptoms that women go through, the hot flashes, the night sweats, the emotional mood swings.
So we're not going to reinstate the old estrogen and progesterone levels because it's natural for them to decline. We're just going to make sure that as they decline, they do it in a balanced way as not to throw us into the hot flashes and the night sweats and everything else.
Exactly. And by doing that, that's right. That is how we manage all those symptoms, to make the transition smoother and less disruptive.
And it's with herbs, completely natural herbs.
It's with herbs and to some degree also with acupuncture as well. Acupuncture is really wonderful actually for helping to maintain a healthy level of circulation through the body. You know, we were talking again, this gets back to yin and yang. If you have enough yin in the body, but your energy is insufficient to circulate it properly through the body, it doesn't do you much good. Mm. So then you get all sorts of symptoms of what we call stagnation in the body. So circulation is key, and acupuncture is one way to enhance that.
All right. So give us a little bit of a primer about what's going on during acupuncture.
Well, what we are doing is changing the way energy moves in the body. Sometimes what we're doing is finding a spot where energy has stagnated, and we can feel that very clearly just by touching it. A trained acupuncturist has got a very, very finely tuned sense of touch, and then with the assistance of the patient who feels something qualitatively different at these spots where energy is blocked. It's either more sensitive than the surrounding area. It can be painful or just sensitive. So we would insert a needle in this place. It relieves the blockage and it helps energy flow through that place much more readily.
So you look at the whole patient. You get there a big picture of what they're going through and work with them to choose, you know, where we need to move energy or what's happening with them.
Right. Exactly. And in the case of menopause, for example, it's quite possible that we would be choosing points on the channel, the liver channel and the kidney channel.
All right. So now explain to us what you mean when you say the liver and the kidney.
Well, yeah. No, that's a good point. Whenever we talk about any organs in Chinese medicine, we're not talking about exactly the same entity that we know from biomedicine. There is overlap between the Chinese system and the Western biomedical system, but there is big area of divergence as well. The liver in Chinese medicine does do some of the same things that we know in biomedicine. That is, that it stores the blood, it detoxifies, it does many, many very essential things. But in addition to what we know in Western medicine, from a Chinese point of view, the liver is very much responsible for ensuring smooth circulation of energy through the body. It's very sensitive also to stress. So this connects in with one particular menopausal issue. Hot flashes and night sweats that are worse with stress. This is something I think any woman going through this will attest, that she has a troublesome phone call with somebody, and whoosh, there's a hot flash. That can be considered to demonstrate the liver's contribution to the whole set of symptoms.
Right. And you mentioned the kidney.
We know the kidney as something that regulates blood pressure, that filters out blood, creates urine, from the Western perspective. From a Chinese perspective, though, the kidney is perhaps the most fundamental organ in the entire body. It's the basis, or it provides the basis, for growth and development and reproductive health. And it also gives us our most underlying fundamental source of energy in the body. Everything really stems from the kidney.
Really?
Yeah. So this is why the decline of the kidney energy a little later in life, as we go through menopause, or this is true for men as well, why all the signs of aging start showing up. It's largely due to the underlying decline of the kidney. The kidney is also what sort of powers or creates the energy, the reservoir of energy for all of the other organs.
It's like our battery?
Yes, in a sense it is. In fact, it's considered to be the source of what's called prenatal energy. That is, it's the energy with which we come into the world. So sort of our constitutional dowry, if you understand that.
I do. Does that mean we only have a limited amount of kidney energy?
Exactly, exactly. And in theory, it's something that we cannot replenish. We can sort of use it wisely. That involves living a moderate lifestyle, getting enough rest, eating properly, not getting too stressed. All these are ways to sort of safeguard that vital kidney energy.
Oh, Ron, I am lamenting the days when I've wasted my vital kidney energy.
Oh, yes, don't we all? Don't we all?
So then when you place the needles, too, you're doing it along lines that affect the kidney and the liver. Okay, I'm starting to get the whole big picture.
Right.
It's coming together.
And then, of course, other organs as well, because as we said, when these two, when the liver and the kidney begin to decline, that has effects on all the organs. So that's a more kind of on an individual basis. For example, if somebody is having a lot of anxiety or difficulty sleeping or difficulty focusing, that can be a demonstration of the relationship between the kidney and the heart.
Oh.
So then we would be working on the heart as well, or that is the heart channel.
Ready to open your heart to alternative healing? Find out more about Ron Hershey when you visit eastmountaincenter.com.